Morning, everybody. Today's daf and tomorrow. No, don't even ask. Today's daf and tomorrow is daf chavav. We're behind. Acknowledge that we're not just behind, but we're really behind. I don't know if you want to call it good news, but in other news, we're starting the fifth parak of tomorrow today. The only reason why I mentioned that it's somewhat good is because the fourth parak is a difficult parak. I have to admit, of the parakim and shas that we've gone through, fourth parak of tomorrow is probably one of the harder parakim of shas, but that's fine. Just if you have time to review it, if I have time, I'll review it as well. It's challenging. Yeah. And we're winding down in tomorrow. We are starting now the fifth parak of tomorrow. There's still a lot more parakim to go, but each of these parakim are going to be very short. Tomorrow ends on daf lamed daled, and so that gives us a little over a week of daf to go regarding tomorrow. As we start now the fifth parak of Tamura, so you're going to ask me, what is this doing here in Tamura? It sounds like something that we should be learning back in Bacharos. In fact, it sounds like something we did actually learn back in Bacharos. And to that I respond, yeah, it's pretty much it. What we're going to try to cover today is, we're going to start the fifth parak of Tamura, we're going to Chavdal Amud Beis, and hopefully today we'll cover all of Chavhei. So at least tomorrow we're going to get up to Chavav. And these are shorter dapim coming up. So we really do have a chance of making back the space that we fell behind. Kate said, "Marim amala b'chor." How do I do harama on a b'chor? Harama in of itself is an interesting concept. It's basically deception, right? Legal loopholes. Okay, totally fine. Meaning there are legal loopholes which are not fine, right? Obviously, you'll see this in the world of accounting that there are certain legal maneuvers that you can do in accounting which are fine, you know, a little creative but fine, and then there are others which are totally illegal. So harama really has the same connotation, meaning that sometimes harama could be done and harama would be totally fine and acceptable, like we're going to be learning here in the Mishnah, and sometimes harama should not be done and is not preferred. So here it's fine. You want to be marim ala b'chor, meaning you have an animal and it's giving birth now for the very first time. And you would like it that animal that comes out is not a b'chor. So we already learned back in Bechoros, there are ways to deal with that. Number one, back in Bechoros, we learned that you go into a partnership with a non-Jew. So if you go into a partnership with a Jew, now there is a yad nochri, the hand of a non-Jew, is part of the animal. And if you remember back in Bechoros, we learned that he doesn't even need to be a significant partner. Even a small shareholder of the animal would then release the animal from that firstborn from having kedushas b'chor. Okay, our Mishnah, however, will not be discussing the track of having a partner of a non-Jew, but rather we'll be discussing where you are a sole proprietor, and there will still be a way to obviate the kedushas b'chor. Although, as we read on in the Mishnah, it's not going to be really just an extraordinarily exciting way to remove it. What you do, says the Mishnah, is Ketza marin al habachor mevakeres ha'isa meuberes omer mashe b'me'ah shalzu im zachar ola. So yalda zachar yikav ola. So what you declare is the following. Look, I know it's giving birth, and I know it's going to have its firstborn child, and I know if I don't do anything, it's going to be a bechor. So here's what I'm doing. I'm declaring it right now to be an ola. Okay, while it's still in utero. Now, this is a discussion we've had before and we're going to be having again today, and that is that you have the opportunity, the ability to be makdish the fetus even in utero. Okay, this harkens back to Gemara that we did not so long ago regarding how to view the fetus. Is the fetus considered a part of the mother, uber yerech imo, or uber lav yerech imo? Our Mishnah certainly seems to suggest uber lav yerech imo, because I can invest the fetus with kedusha even in utero.
How does it help him? Because they're always...
Yeah, so correct, good. Okay, so that I was going to discuss that as well. Now is an excellent time to discuss it. Good, so did that really help him? So the answer is a little bit. And Rashi over here, the top Rashi on this Mishnah, explains it helps him one of two ways. First of all, he has the ability to stiff a kohen. Now, I'm not... Now, am I a proponent of that? No. I mean, is the Mishnah a proponent of that? No. But that's what Rashi says. In other words, lafkiu mekohen, meaning you don't want it to go over to the Kohen's hands. You want to retain the animal. Good. So you declare it to be an ola. But as you already know, that's not much of a retention, because now that the animal is an ola, now that the fetus is an ola, that only means that you now have the obligation to bring it as a carbon. But Rashi's next words, Rashi's smart. Rashi writes, ola hafrisha l'chovaso. Meaning, let's say you already has an, had an obligation to bring a carbon ola, meaning you're already made a neder. So you're on the hook to bring a carbon ola. So now, by doing this harama, again, I know it's a limited context, but still, by doing this harama, you now have A, the ability to stiff the kohen, and B, because you already have a pre-existing neder, so now this fetus that's coming out, instead of you now having to lose it to the kohen, you get to use it to satisfy your neder. Okay. I read all that. V'im, we're back into the mission now, case number two. V'im nekeva, zivchei shlamim, yalda nekeva tikar shlamim. Now, this is well before the time of sonograms. You don't know what gender is coming out. So let's say, instead of declaring it to be a male as an ola, you say, well, if it's a female that comes out, so I'll let me bring it as a shlamim. Now, the Gemara later on will ask the obvious question.
Why did you do that?
You didn't need to do that, because if it's a female that comes out, it's yours, it's not a bechor. So you didn't need to do that. And the Gemara is going to ask that very question, what's going on over here? You didn't need to make that statement. So stay tuned, because the Gemara is going to ask that very question. Well, let's say you made both statements. Let's say you said that if it's a male, I want it to be an ol, and if it's a female, I'd like it to be a shlamim. And so now you're prepared for both. Yalda zachar nekeva. And you know what? Both happened. Lo and behold, it had twins. Okay? So zachar yikrav olav nekeva tikrav shlamim. All this is very straightforward. Yalda shnei zacharim. Here, this next part of the Mishnah is tricky. And I don't fully understand this next part of the Mishnah, but I say in advance. But let's say it gives birth to two males. Now, this is going back to which case? So Rashi is of the opinion, if it's a male, I'd like it to be an ola.
First male.
So yalda shnei zecharim. So if it gives birth to two males, echem em yikrav ola v'asheni yimakal echayve ola v'dam avchulin. So the one that comes out, the first one that comes out is an ola, and the second one that comes out, well, you'll sell it to somebody who needs an ola because it has kedushas ola. But however, you can enjoy the proceeds of that sale. Proceeds of the sale do not need to go to the Beis Hamikdash. Why do both of them have the kedushas carbon ola? So I'm not sure.
Because you didn't know which one it is. Well, why say one of them?
Why not say which first one?
Okay, right. Okay, I think that's it. I think that's the Pesha in the Mishnah. I'm not 100% sure, but it sounds reasonable. Sounds very reasonable. You said one of them was going to be an ola. You didn't know which one you said. Okay, so both of them are going to be designated as ola, but one of them, however, you can enjoy the money of. Okay. Yalda shnei nekevos achas men tikar shlamim v'ashniya timaka lechai v'shlamim v'dameh achulin. Okay, and similarly, if this animal gave birth to two nekevos, and again, my statement was the nekeva should be shlamim, so one of them is going to be offered as a shlamim, and the second one is going to be sold for the purpose for a person who needs a shlamim, but the money is all yours. Okay. Yalda tumtum v'andragonos, Rav Shimon Gamliel, Omer, en kedusha chala aleihem. Okay, what if what comes out of the animal is not a male or not a female, something in between, right? Tumtum or androgynous. Tumtum, we simply do not know, right? A pouch is over the private area of the animal, so we simply don't know its gender. Or androgynous, it demonstrates both male and female. So, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, there's no kedusha on these animals. These animals are simply not even balmum, right? I was just about to say balmum. Not even, no kedusha whatsoever. Okay, stay tuned. We're going to discuss that later on. I'm Rav Yehuda Mutar Lahatamum Bebechor Kodem Shiyatsa LaAvir HaOlam. Okay, Rav Yehuda makes the following statement: You wanna put a blemish on the animal before it comes out of the world? By all means, go ahead. In other words, to stick your hand into the uterus of the animal and simply make a small little nick on one of the parts of the animal, the external parts of the animal, so that as it exits its mother, it already will be a bamum. And good, you could do that. Okay. Now, Rav Yehuda, of course, is an Amora, and he's making a statement, and our Mishnah does not seem to agree with Rav Yehuda. And the Gemara says, look, let's take a look back at our Mishnah, Tanan. Amar Adam Ashabe Me'al Shel Zu'ola Ola In Shlamim Lo. So the the Amar Dematzit Mafkar Lemikdusha say? So it's a little bit strange, meaning our Mishnah talks about you pointing to the fetus and saying, I'd like this fetus to be an Ola, and the fetus will become an Ola. But you, our Mishnah does not entertain the idea that you could be Mafkia. You could just simply remove the Kedusha. If you would like to alter the Kedusha, the Mishnah is okay with that. But to remove the Kedusha, which is what you're doing by putting a mum on the fetus in utero, our Mishnah doesn't seem to be subscribing to that.
Doesn't he achieve Kedusha once it's born? Or
yeah.
So at that time, he didn't achieve it, the Kedusha.
Right. But, okay, but I'm... but. If Rav Yehuda is right, let me just rephrase the question. If Rav Yehuda is right, why doesn't the Mishnah give Rav Yehuda's advice? It's easy. It seemed to be the easiest solution in order to avoid the kedushas b'chor. So Amal Chav Rav Yehuda Hani Mila Bezman Shebeis Hamikdash Kaim Ki Kaminana Bezman Azeh Delochazi LaHakrava. Okay, so the Gemara says beautiful. Look. In the time of the Beis HaMikdash, Rav Yehuda says, I will not give this advice. In fact, this advice will not work. Meaning, this Eitzah that I'm providing does not work when there's a Beis HaMikdash. Why? Very, very simple. Because when there's a Beis HaMikdash, you know that first animal that's coming out, if it's a male, is by rights going to go to the Mizbeach. You can't override that. Meaning, you can't remove something, take something away from the Beis HaMikdash and from the Mizbeach. If you would like to alter the Kedusha from Bechor to Ola, that's okay. And not only is that okay, but think about it, it's an upgrade. Meaning a Bechor is only a Shlamim. Right? And Ola totally goes on to the Mizbeach. So that's fine. But for you to put a mum on the animal in utero, so that when it comes out now, the Mizbeach doesn't get it at all, that's unacceptable. That you can't do. And during the Bezman Beis HaMikdash, I wouldn't even recommend that. However, I'm talking about Bezman HaZeh. And think about it, Bezman HaZeh... What I'm telling you is very good advice. Because nowadays, without a Beis HaMikdash, what happens when that Bechor is born? All it is just Saras. Because now you have to sit and wait and let it develop a blemish, and only then am I allowed to enjoy it. And all the while we're waiting for a blemish to occur to this animal, you're not allowed to work the animal, you're not allowed to shear the animal. Okay, so obviously now, all this does is present itself problems. So Ibiz Manazem my lame mautema nigzo demonafic rubo. I'm sorry, Rov Rubo Vikashadi Be Mama Vema Hachinami Afilohachi Vikashadi Be Mama. Right, question mark. So the Gemara now is asking, so okay, what's the Chiddush? Meaning what Rav Yehuda, that's great Eitzah, but I need you to make that as a statement. So the Gemara says absolutely. Because I may be concerned that here's what you're going to do. You're going to wait. You're not going to put the mum on the animal in utero. You're going to wait till it starts coming out. Meaning, here's your plan. Right? I don't want to have to stick my hand into the uterus of the animal. Okay? I'd rather not. I'll wait till the first part of the head comes out. And as Rashi over here points out, when we say the first part of the head comes out, we actually mean the ear. Ear's the first thing that comes out. And as the ear comes out, I'll just put a nick on the ear. Okay? When the ear comes out, is it considered born? Not yet. Majority of the head needs to pop out in order for it to be considered born. So I'll just simply, as the ear comes out, I'll put a nick on the ear, and then as the rest of it comes out, it's a bal mum. Okay. Here's a concern. If you're trying to pinpoint that moment, you really may botch it. You really just may ruin the animal, because you may nick the ear only after the full head has emerged. Or in the very least, the majority of the head has emerged. And so now, it already has Kedushas Bechor. And now, by you nicking the ear, you violate this in the Torah of putting a blemish on a Bechor. Good. So this is a possible concern of why we may not have liked Rav Yehuda's suggestion. And that's why Rav Yehuda is coming along to tell us, no, I still say it's okay. Ve'imahachinam, the Gemara says, but wait a second, that is a legitimate concern. So the Gemara says, you're right, it is a concern. But again, you always have to take everything into account. That's a concern, but I'll give you a bigger concern. If you allow the animal to be born a Bechor, so now you may be violating the Yisr of Giza and Avoda, because you don't know when the animal is going to get blemished, and it may be years, and you may work the animal, and you may shear the animal. So it's true. By putting a blemish in the animal in utero, you run the risk of waiting until the head pops out and only putting in the, only then putting the blemish in. But there's a much greater risk that if I don't do this, and the animal is born into this world as a bechor, I'll be violating Giza Vavoda. So you always have to, you have to take everything into consideration. Rabbi Yehuda says, better to put a blemish on the animal in utero. Okay. By the way, there's an assumption, there's a overriding assumption in this Gemara, which in and of itself is interesting. You know, you're not allowed to put a blemish on a bechor. Okay, while it's in utero, there's no prohibition. Right? Why not? So, so presumably the correct answer is that while the animal's in utero, it does not have yet have Kedushas Bechor. And so therefore there is no prohibition to put a blemish on a chulin animal, even though that chulin animal will become a Bechor, right? All we have to do is just forecast its birth, and you know, will become a Bechor, but prior to that, there's no issur to put a blemish on a pre-Bechor, right? Right, meaning it could be that what comes out now is the female, and then he just, you know, wasted his time, but at least, though, it will obviate the problem. Now, so now the Gemara is going to ask the question, had he asked it when we learned the Mishnah, what was his other statement? Well, if what comes out is the female, I'd like it to be a shlamim. Why do you say that? That was so unnecessary, because if it's a female that comes out, it doesn't have Kedushas Bechor. Bechor only applies to male. So what was he looking to gain over there? So Nekeva Mika Kasha Bebechara Sefas Yulabehema Dehektesh. So the Gemara says that when we learn that next case in the Mishnah, it's a different case. It's not a case where it's a regular animal, because if it were a regular chulin animal, you'd be 100% correct. Second case in the Mishnah is we're talking about where it was Hektesh already. It was a carbon. And now what I would like to do is I would like to redirect what the fetus will be. So as if mother is a, now I'm not going to say Ola, I'm not going to fall into that trap, right? Because mother can't be an Ola. Okay, so, although after the fourth parak of Temura and the third parak of Temura, you know that mom could be an Ola, but let's not go back there. We're now in the fifth parak of Temura. It's going to be, let's keep it simpler. So if mother, let's say, is a Chatas, all right, that's more exciting. So if mother's a chatas, and I'd like the child now to be a shlamim. And by the way, I'm highly motivated to do that. Why? Because if I don't redirect the kedusha of the child, what is that child coming out as? The vlad of a chatas. And as we've just learned now in the previous parak, what happens to the vlad of a chatas? It needs to die. Right, so I'm very motivated, if this chatas animal is pregnant, to redirect its kedusha, and that's exactly what I can do. I can redirect its kedusha. Okay.
If it's female.
Huh? If right, and that only would work if no. What do you mean? Because the statement was in the keva.
Yeah.
It's true. Why did he say in the keva? If we're talking about a kashim animal, wouldn't I want to redirect its kedusha under any circumstance, whether it's male or whether it's female? But the issue that's being raised on the table now is, why does the Mishnah say im nekeva? Yeah, I hear you. Okay. Yeah, but right, and this was to fulfill his previous neder, like what Rashi explained back in the Mishnah. Could be, could very well be. Although if it's a chatas, right? As we just went over. You'd want it to be shlamim under any circumstance, male or female. Okay. All right. Good point. Chatas can be and is usually a female. There's a chance for a chatas to be a male, but an unusual chance. You have to be the king. Okay. Yaldashin is a charim. So Amri Ibrahim dehektish hechta aktish ola lehada ola. So inahave bigdusha say di ima. So the Gemara says, well, now we go back to the Mishnah, we go now to the third case of the Mishnah. And the third case of the Mishnah is where it gave birth to two males. So the Gemara says, now remember, case number two in the Mishnah, we're talking about where mom was a carbon. So in case number three, if mom is a carbon, so and it gave birth to two males. So one of them, you're going to sell one of them, and it's going to be, and the money, in other words, if mom is a carbon, isn't the child going to be whatever mom is? So say fasal lebehemus chulin. So we're going to have to do another shift in the Mishnah. We've been doing a lot of shifts in Mishnah lately, where now this next case in the Mishnah takes us back to where mom was a chulin animal, and so that's why one that comes out is going to be an ola, and the other one that's going to come out, I'll sell it as an ola to somebody who needs an ola, but the money will go to me. Okay. Yalda tumtum van jagna. We're now on the top of daf chav hey, and amayin kedusha chal aleihem. Chasav Rabbi Shimon Gamliel v'lados kashem rav yasan hen kedoshin. All right. We get to an oldie but goodie, like a real classic machlokus in the Gemara, and that is the following. When does an animal that's born into this world, when does it get invested with Kedusha? Okay? In other words, like we talked about earlier, Vlad does Kachim, right? The mom is a carbon, and mom gave birth. Before mom gave birth, sorry, let's go back one step. Mom's pregnant, okay? Does the animal have Kedusha in utero, or only when it's born into this world? Okay, the correct answer is Machlokas. Okay, but it's a classic. It's a classic debate that takes place throughout all of Shas. So here we're talking now about the formation of Tumtum van Jagannath. Now the Gemara makes the following assumption. Okay, biologists, you may object. I don't know enough to object. So, but I'm going to take the Gemara at its assumption, which is that if an animal comes out Tumtum van Jagannath, that was a later development in utero, meaning at the very early stages of fetal development. It doesn't, it's not tumtum, it's not androgynous, meaning that comes about at some later point in time. If the kedusha of a fetus is in utero, so it should be invested with kedusha during its formation, during its gestation.
Then it departs when it
comes. And then when it comes out, okay, so it's a tumtum, so it's an androgynous, you can't offer it as a carbon. But it's still invested with kedusha. You're gonna need to redeem it. If you read the words of the Mishnah carefully, the Mishnah says, Ein kedusha chala alayhem. There is no Kedusha. So when you look at our Mishnah, you realize our Mishnah is not subscribing to the viewpoint that the Kedusha is in utero, but rather the Kedusha comes out at the emergence of its mother, right? Birth. That's when it's Kadosh. And so the Gemara just makes this observation.
Maybe to the both conditions have to be applied. I mean, like, it's as Kedusha in, and it has to come out.
Yeah, but it doesn't fit into the words of the Mishnah. The words of the Mishnah are, Ein Kedusha Chala Aleihem, meaning no Kedusha. So, Rabbi Shimon, so Kasav Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Vladus Kachim Bev Yasan and Kedoshin. These are Kadachim Imeiman and Kedoshin. Amayin Kedusha Chala Aleihem. Hatafsasinu Kedusha Di Imayhu. It has received the Kedusha of its mother. And in the case of carbon, if mom is a carbon, that which develops inside is also going to be a carbon. Alashmamina Vlade Kadoshim Bev Yasan Hain Kedoshin. Our Mishnah is of the opinion that even if mom is a carbon, the baby that emerges will be kadosh, but only at birth. And because at birth, baby is either tumtum v'androgynous, neither of them are fit to be offered on the mizbeach, therefore there will be no kedusha on the baby. Okay. V'hai tanasav v'vlad dekashim imei iman ein kedoshin. And the Gemara says, and you should all know that this is a machlokes. The Tanna Rabbanan and the Gemara here quotes a braisa. Ilo namar. Now, here, no one has a chumash here, right? Let me do me a favor. Let me just borrow your Gemara very quickly. I know that sounds funny, but your Gemara is better than mine because it has psukim on the side. Mine does not. Okay, the pasuk we're all looking at over here is in Vayikra, end of Vayikra. Ach bechor asher yivukar laHashem bebehima. Lo yakdish ishaso imshur imse lashem hu. Good. You gotta. Oh, thank you very much. The pasuk at its very simple level is just simply telling us that if you have a bechor, that's it. It is a bechor. Nothing you could do about it. What pasuk is it? Perchav Zayin pasuk. There we go. So if you have a bechor that is yivukar, so lo yakdish isho soy, no one can be makdish it. Im shor, im seh lashemu, because it belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. The Gemara is going to do a little bit of creative drasha over here in this pasuk. in terms of where we could have gone in interpreting this pasuk. Tana Rabbanan, starting again now, Ilan Emma Bechor Lo Yakdish. Had the Torah said Bechor Lo Yakdish, I might have thought that who is the Bechor that we're talking about over here? A person. Right? Firstborn. Human. Me. Okay? Hayisi Omer Bechor Lo Yakdish Hekdeshos. I might have thought, talking about an interesting Havamina. I'd like if somebody would suggest a good svara for this. It's a Havamina. We're going to end up rejecting it. But just as a Havamina. Fascinating. If you're Bechor, you can't invest an animal with Kedusha. Again, Hayisi Omer. I would have said that. So Tamalamer Isho So, Oso Yata Makdisha Vamakdisha Adam Bechor Hekdeshos. So the Gemara says that that's not correct because it says Oso. Meaning the only issue is you can't be Makdish this animal as a Bechor. Sorry, as a carbon because it's already a Bechor. But as a Bechor Adam, you can be Makdish whatever you want to be Makdish. Okay. The Adain Ani Omer Hula Yakdish Vayikdishu Acherim. Tamalom Rabbe Behema. Bebehema Asakti. I might have thought maybe he can't be Makdish, but others can be Makdish. So the Gemara says, no. Bebehema. Meaning we're speaking strictly about the animal. Yachol Yakdishem Bebet and Tamalom Rashe Yivukala Hashem. Mishi Yivukala Hashem Yatamakdish Avatamakdish Babetin. Can I be Makdish while it's in utero? So the Braisa says, yes. Good. Fits in beautifully what we learned back in the Mishnah. Meaning that's exactly the first point we learned this morning in the Mishnah. But now, follow. Yachol af vlade kol ha-kadashim kain. Can I do this with any other carbon? Tamalamar ach, chalak. The word ach in the Torah tells us that this is a limited halacha. That my ability to be makdish in utero is only for the Bechor, but not for any other carbon. Why not? Because this braisa subscribes to the viewpoint that the kedusha of a carbon in utero already has kedusha's carbon. Fine. So again, so I asked you the very simple question. A female carbon that's pregnant, is the fetus inside kadosh machlokes? Our Mishnah says it's not, and if you want, you could redirect the Kedusha, and the Mishnah, I'm sorry, the Braisa that we just quoted says it has Kedusha Merechem. And according to this Braisa, the only exception would be Bechor. Now, why is Bechor an exception? So, ostensibly, simply put, huh? Yeah,
because
right?
Because you can put a
moment. Well, again, I'm just suggesting, presumably, the reason why Bechor is different is because mom doesn't have Kedusha. Meaning, mom isn't a carbon. So in other words, then now in the absence of mom being a carbon, and now I want to invest the fetus inside with Kedusha, that you could do. Okay. Amalei Rav Amalei Rav Sheshes Amalei Al-Bechor Imitzias Ruba Ola Ola Have O Bechor Have. Okay. The Gemara now does its investigative research. Let me ask you the following question. Let's say, what comes out of mom's, this is a Bechor, right? First time mother's giving birth, and instead of giving it Kedushas Ola while it's in utero, which you're allowed to do, as we've already learned in the Mishnah and in the Braisa, but you try to be fancy, and you say that I want to invest this animal with Kedushas Ola when the majority of its head emerges from its mother. Now, something also happens with the majority of the head emerging from the mother, and that is, it's getting Kedushas Bechor. So at that very same moment now, you have two competing Kedushas, Bechor and Ola. So which one will stick? The Bechor or the Ola? And the Gemara phrases the question. So Ola Have O Bechor Have. Ola Have the Choporta Bor the Kanafiku Kalil. Do I say that with every moment that it is emerging, it's getting Kedushas Ola? Or do I say, no, it's getting rather Kedushas Bechor? Lishna Echrina, the Gemara repackages the question, as we see a lot over the course of Masechta Temura. Shekin Kedusha Chayla Ala, Odema Bechor, Havi Shekin Kedusha So, Mei Rechem. Okay. So again, now I have two competing kedushas. Well, the Gemara is assuming that there is a base of Mikdash, and now we just want to know which kedusha does it receive. So, mighty by Allah, so the Gemara says, I'll give you a nearly identical scenario. It's not super identical, but same concept. And you'll see, we'll go from Ilfa's question, Ilfa's the name of Atana, to our discussion. Ilfa Amar Alakadim im Nishirat Rubo Yehe Hefker. Laket. While I'm collecting my wheat from my field, if one stalk falls out of my hand, or if two stalks fall out of my hand, that's officially leket. Okay, no longer mine. Belongs now to the ani, to the poor. And the poor now are able to come in to collect it, and I'm no longer able to go and pick it up. But I say the following. While the majority of that stalk falls out of my hand, I make the following declaration, it should be hefker. Ownerless. Now, ownerless wheat, or any produce for that matter, is not subject to any leket, shichacha, and peya. Okay? It's ownerless. Everyone's entitled to it. So here, I have two competing claims going on as it's falling out of my hand. Because number one, the Torah declares that it's leket. Number two, I declare that as it's falling out of my hand, it's going to be hefker. Which means that anyone's entitled to it. Ruba yeh hefker. Leket havi or hefker havi. Leket havi shekain kedusha so biyado. Bide shamayim. Odema hefker havi shekain zochem bo aniyim ve'ashirim. Ve'amar abayim mighty bailach. I'm sorry, Ilfa was not a ton. Ilfa's an amora. I apologize. Abaye says, what kind of question is that? Right? Not a good question. Says Abaye, why? Because divrei harav, divrei tam, divrei mishomim. Meaning, did you hear the way I phrased the sentence? It's such a funny one. The Torah says it's leket. You say it's hefker. Well, divrei harav, the divrei hatamid, divrei mishomim. Well, who are you going to listen to? The Torah. Meaning, by the way, meaning it is a phenomenal argument, and it's a Abaye's argument. But do keep this in mind. If I would have made my statement beforehand, so then my statement would supersede. It would override. The item becoming leket because it no longer is eligible to become leket. But if we're talking about where the events are happening simultaneously and the two competing forces, number one, the Torah's instruction that what falls out of my hand is leket, and my instruction that what falls out of my hand is now hefker, so if they're competing at the same time, we're going to go over what the Torah says and whatever you say. And now, here also, the Torah says that as the head emerges from the animal, it's a bechor. I say that what emerges out of the animal, when the head emerges out of the animal, it's an ola. So who are you going to listen to? The Torah or me? Same argument. Divrei Rav, Divrei Tam, Divrei Mishomim, Hachanami, Divrei Mishomim. Okay. You understand, by the way, the two cases are not really identical.
But in the
case of ola versus bechor, it's not... me versus the base of Mikdash, it's still going to be a carbon. In fact, an ola is going to be even a superior carbon. It's going to be kulo kulo. So, right, it's not a parallel, it's not a direct parallel, but still, the ratzon habore, when the first animal comes out of the mother, is it should be a bechor. So me wanting to override it, if I precede it, that's one story. But if I'm trying to compete with it at the same time, I don't compete. Ha'omer v'lada shalzu ola v'hishlamim dvar v'kayamim. All right, here we are. Now, we've been here before, and this will be a phenomenal review of what we've seen earlier in the Masechta, because this whole sugya really is going to revolve around Rabbi Yochanan. But first we'll learn the Mishnah, and then we'll get to Rabbi Yochanan. Ha'omer v'lada shalzu ola v'hishlamim dvar v'kayamim. I'd like to make the mother a shlamim, and the baby that comes out an ola, Dvarav Kayamim. Good, you could do that. Even while the fetus is in utero. He shlamim uvlada ola, hareze vlad zivche shlamim. Now the wording of the Mishnah is a little bit strange because here I want to make it a shlamim and the vlad an ola. It is vlad zivche shlamim. Divrei Meir. Now, vlad's a funny word to insert over here. Didn't I designate the mother as a shlamim? Okay, so In the meantime, however, why are we saying Vlad Shlamim? Shouldn't the Mishnah say Shlamim? Stay tuned. The Gemara later on will work on the language of the Mishnah. But right now, Divrei Rav Meir, this is the words of Rav Meir. Rav Meir will tell you that the entire thing is a Shlamim, both mother and fetus. Okay? Rav Meir, we see this time and again throughout Shas. Tfos, Lashon, Rishon. Rav Meir is of the opinion that when you make two statements, I always will take your first statement, I will ignore your second statement. Not me personally, I'll listen to you. But I'm saying, but when you try to make two statements, one is contradicting the first statement, I just simply say it's statement two versus statement one. I just ignore statement two. Right? The Torah ignores statement two, and all you're left with is mom being a shlamin. Amar of Yossi, im lachin is kavin tchila ho v'yev shalikrosh neishemus ka'achas dvarv kayamim. The imish amar arezu shlamin nimlach v'amar vlada ola arezu vlada shlamin. And Rav Yossi disagrees, and this is the accepted halacha, that no, look, Rav Yossi says to him, what is the guy supposed to do? Meaning, he wants mom to be a shlamim, he wants the baby to be an ola, the fetus inside to be an ola, so, and he can't say both of them at the same time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do that, right? Shamar v'zachor b'dibur echad. Right, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu can speak out two ideas at the same time. Good, but we're human, and we're limited. So I want mom to be a shlamim and the baby to be an ola, so I'm going to say, I'd like mother to be a shlamim, and I'd like baby to be an ola, and we can accept both statements. And Rav Yossi doesn't subscribe to the tfos lashon rishon. And the only time Rav Yossi says, I agree to you, to Rav Meir, is where he first starts off by saying, I want this to be a shlamim. And then he thinks for a moment, he says, oh no, you know what? I changed my mind. I want the baby to be an ola, so now it's too late. Once the animal was invested with Kedusha Shlamim, together with its fetus, so then you can't change. Okay. But that's because you've established that the whole thing is going to be shlamim. Okay. What about Tochidei Dibor? Gemara later on, we'll discuss that.
The baby can be ola, I want the mother to be shlamim. If there would be,
right, that's, if you want to defend Rav Meir, right? Is that what you're trying to do?
Right.
Yeah,
if the baby's an ola, I make the mother.
Correct. Mother, you could start with the baby, and then go, and then work backwards to the mother. Right, I guess that would be a good defense of Rav Meir. I'm Rav Yochanan, Hifrish Chatas, Mubarash, V'yalda, Retsa, Ba, Miskaper, Retsa, Bevlanda, Miskaper. Okay, oldie but goodie. Okay, this is great review. Rav Yochanan says that pregnant Chatas, right? Well, she's not yet a Chatas, but she's pregnant. And I say, I want to be Miskaper with this female goat, female lamb. So you could be Miskaper either with mom or with the Vlad, either one of them. This takes us back now to the fourth parak, but no one get nervous. It's not going to be complicated. Meaning this is now separating, setting aside two carbon chattises for your requirement to bring a carbon chattis. What do we call this back in the fourth parak? Achrayus. Just a simple insurance policy. Okay? And I could use either one that I want. And the other one does not have to die. I know Rabbi Shimon says one of them has to die, but remember, he's the absolutist. Okay. My time up. But right now, we're just going to be focusing on how do we view the fetus inside the mother. Kasav Rav Yochanan, Nim Shari Meshuri, Uber Lav, Yerechimohu, Davale Kamafish, Techatos, Achrayos, Ratamis Kaper, Ba, Ratamis Kaper, Bechaverta. Perfect. This is Rav Yochanan, Leshita. So, Rav Yochanan says that the fetus is a separate entity. The fetus is not part of the mother. And so we view fetus and mother as two separate entities. This would be no different than me pointing to two distinct animals and saying, I wanna set aside both of these for my carbon chatas, and I could use both. I could use either one that I want.
This is the accepted view, right?
Yeah, the Rav Yochanan viewpoint. So most of Rabbi Elazar, I told you, the Rambam gets a little bit tricky because the Rambam a couple places says Ubar Yerech Imo. So the Rambam, many people discuss that the Rambam seems to be a little complex, but not for now. Most of Rabbi Elazar, he shlamim uvlada ola hareza vlad shlamim v'isa gadach hashar mishur hareza vlad hareza vlad shlamim hareza shlamim baye misnei. So the take a look at our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says hareza vlad shlamim. Vlad shlamim, I understand. Just simply say shlamim. So Amar Avtavla Bar Minad Ahi. So Rav Tavla says, leave this out of the discussion. Ha, Rav Tana. When Rav heard a Tana, Tana over here just simply means a person saying over Mishnayos. When Rav heard somebody saying over this Mishnah, Tani Harezu Shlamim. So Rav was quick to correct, and Rav says, don't say Vlad Shlamim, but rather Harezu Shlamim. Okay, Meisve. Okay. So far, so good. We've laid out now Rav Yochanan's position. Ubar is Lav Yerech Imo, and therefore, if I want to be Makdish, a pregnant animal, I view mother and fetus as two distinct entities. The Gemara now is going to challenge Rav Yochanan's viewpoint based on the following brisa. Ha'omer l'shivcha sor ha'arei shivcha uvladach ben chorin. Okay? Person owns a shivcha. Shivcha kananis. Right? Property. Chattel, as they say in English law. And I say to this shivcha, okay, to, right, a man says to his own shivcha, look, you I'm retaining as my property. But you're pregnant, I'm already going to free your fetus. Yeah. I'm already going to free your fetus. So Vladcha ben Chorim im Haisa Ubra Zachso Lo. Im Haisa Ubra Zachso Lo. So the child will go free. Now he actually has to hand her a get shichur, right? A letter of emancipation. Now, how does that work? Now, you have to remember, I find this to be fascinating, right? Freeing your Eved, your own Eved, is always going to be tricky business. Why? Because every time you hand him something, it's basically handing something from your right hand over to your left hand. Because Masha kana eved kana rabo. Right. So how can you legally hand him anything? Right? His hand is your hand. Right? He's your property. Okay? So now there's a concept of what's called gito viado baim ke'echad. That if you're freeing him or her, either one, so basically now two things are happening simultaneously. His freedom and his ability to collect the get shechur. This is what's called gito viyado baim ke'echad. Both events happen simultaneously. But here in our case, however, it gets much more complex. Because what are you trying to free? The Vlad. Okay. Now, if you maintain that the Vlad is really part of her, so basically what we could do is we could look at the fetus and her as one whole entity. And you know what this would be analogous to? Freeing half a slave. Remeir says you could do that. You could free half your slave. The kids of Tanya were learned in the following brace, so look at the top of the next time. Now Remeir says that if you free half your slave, it works. Why? Because Gita V'yadu Baim Ke'echad applies even to half slave. Now, we're not going to really draw a dotted line down the person and say, well, it's the right side that's free. But at least conceptually, part of him is actually being freed, being released, and we can assume, says Rav Meir, that the hand that's collecting the get shichur is part that's being freed. And so therefore, if the fetus is considered part of the mother, so then we could say that this is tantamount to freeing half your slave. However, however, if the fetus is a separate entity, as Rav Yochanan declares, so every time you're handing the get shichur to the mother, it's not going anywhere. Get shichur is basically just being handed back to me, because mashakana evikana rabo, or in this case, mashakana shivcha kana rabo. So how are you actually freeing the ubar if the ubar is considered a separate entity? So I'm sorry, Elish Maminam Shario Ein Meshuyar V'Tiyufta De Rav Yochanan Tiyufta. So the only way to view this case is by saying that the ubar is considered part of the mother and it's not a separate entity, and this smacks in the face against Rav Yochanan. Now it's interesting because the Gemara over here says, "Tiyufta de Rav Yochanan," we've knocked out Rav Yochanan. And the double language of Tiyufta, Rav Yochanan Tiyufta, means we really knocked them out. So it's interesting because if we're going to stop here, but La Halacha comes out that we don't agree to Rav Yochanan, but meanwhile the Gemara time and again does agree to Rav Yochanan. So, okay, tomorrow we'll discuss. But we'll have to stop here.